When you meet someone for the first time, I come over and I say, "Hello, Michelle. It's nice to meet you." I know some things about Michelle right away. She wears glasses. She wears a head covering. Not sure about all of that. She has a white sweater on, a light dress, and she has a nice smile. I can recognize her voice. When I get to know her just a little bit, just a quick observation, I see her gait. I know how she walks, and I would recognize that. When I meet Jessica, I know her very well because she's my child. And I know a lot about her. But it didn't happen overnight. When I first saw her, I thought, okay, reddish hair. Real, you could tell. Real pink complexion. We'll leave out some other things. But here's a life that I can get to know. James, Joseph, after meeting you, I would soon discover that you're brothers. After talking to you a little bit, I discover you have a sister. But if I spend some more time with you, I begin to learn what makes your heart beat. What are the things that inspire you? What are your interests? What are your passions? Where do you pour out your life? I'll know that, but it's going to take some time. I'm going to have to spend time with you. I'm going to have to talk to you and know. What are your struggles? What are your difficulties? What are your hurts? What's going to motivate you? And if I spend enough time with you, I'm very soon going to know your will. And when I know your will, if my heart is open towards you, I can act accordingly. And I'll respond automatically to what your will is because I know who you are. And I can relate to you. That's what prayer is in our relationship with the Father. The root of every relationship is the revelation of who that person is. And if you are unwilling to reveal who you are, you can't have much of a relationship. Well, God, knowing our frame, gave us quite the revelation. In the book of Revelation, it's the revelation of St. John the Divine, and in the first verse, I think it says something along the lines of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, I think we can look at this whole Bible and say, well, it's not just the revelation of Jesus Christ. The whole thing, from Genesis to Revelation, is the revelation of the triune God. And prayer is the means to unlocking this book. And by unlocking this book, you'll know the God that you're praying to. And by praying to God, you'll know the book. And everything feeds itself. It opens itself up to a sweet communion. The very desire of your heart then comes to pass. He's revealed in His Word, and you understand it. I had read the Bible a few times before I was converted, and there were some things that flat did not make sense to me. I was a good Pharisee, so I could slap some law on, but I did not understand the spiritual things. I was a natural man. But when God's Spirit came alive in me, and I began to commune with Him and not just read for my head, my relationship with His Word changed. Because He changed me. Praise the Lord. I don't understand all of that, but I know it's true. The next point. Prayer is the foundation. Nope, I said that wrong. Prayer is the plan for, the foundation and structure of the church. Prayer is the plan for, the foundation and structure of the church. It's the plan of the church. In Isaiah 56:7, the end of the verse there says, "For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations." Brothers and sisters, are you the temple of the living God? Does that make you His house? Part of it. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Well, you don't sell doves. You don't have oxen. You're not exchanging money. But in your heart of hearts, is your focus wrong? Is it about mammon? Is it about your friends? Is it about music? Is it about anything before God? If it is, your temple needs cleansed. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. It was God's plan for the church. Prayer is the foundation of the church. When Jesus was being ready to be poured out, He prayed that high priestly prayer in John chapter 17. He laid out for us what our need was. What was our chief need? There were a couple of them. And I suppose you could argue which one was first. So we won't argue. We'll just say a couple. Lord, that they would love one another. That's the foundation of the church, is prayer. And Jesus' prayer was that we would love one another. And then, Father, I would that they would be one as You and I are one. Well, how is that going to happen? If we examine Jesus' life, you'll discover He maintained that relationship through constant prayer. Through diligent, purpose-focused prayer. And Christ prayed for us the same thing. Looking at the formation of the church as we know it today in Acts chapter 1. Go ahead and turn there. Wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye should be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So the Holy Ghost is the foundation of the church. Wait for me. Prayer came first. In verse 14, it says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brethren. And over to chapter 2, verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all together with one accord in one place. And then the Holy Ghost is poured out. Prayer was the foundation of the modern church. How can we be different? Prayer is the structure of the church. It wasn't just the foundation, but it was the very stones that were laid in place, line upon line. They were laid to build up the structure of the church so that it would be recognized. In Acts 2, verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread and prayers. Brothers and sisters, would it be known of your church that you are known for these things, including prayer? Is your fellowship known for its prayer life? Is your life known as a life that is poured out in prayer? I promise you there are plenty of preachers. But the preachers could use a few more prayers. If there were a few more prayers behind the preachers, we would see more power in the pulpit. And then we could see the transformed lives of nations. In Acts chapter 3, verse 1, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. When they were heading to the temple, do you suppose they had already attained an attitude of prayer? This is yes. Don't be afraid to answer. I believe that they did. Do you know why I think that? Because when they were on their way, they went walking past a man who was holding an alms cup. And they had to be open and sensitive and ready to hear what the Spirit of God would say. Because this man had a need. They weren't in the temple, they weren't praying yet, but they had an attitude of prayer. And when they saw him, those famous words came forth, silver and gold have I none. But in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And then that man went leaping and walking and praising God, leaning on their arms in his joy. Do you feel that your heart is so in tune with God that you can respond that way? Are Peter and John extra special? God says He's not a respecter of persons. How could it be different for them than us? That would mean God had changed. Can God change? He can't. God can't change. Next point. The importance of prayer. Prayer is the life of the church. Without prayer, you may have a form. Without prayer, you may do many things. Because you have natural abilities. But without prayer, you have no life. A tree without roots is dead. We call it firewood. Fit for nothing but to be burned. The church, when faced with a difficulty in the beginning, in Acts chapter 12, James had been killed. Peter's now put in prison. Herod's desire is for his life to also be taken because it delighted the Jews. The church, it panicked. hired soldiers, and got ready to go bust him out of prison because they had the resources and they had the ability to do that. That's not what the Bible says. It says when faced with a difficulty, they gathered together and they continued in prayer without ceasing. For what? That Peter would be comforted and that when he goes to his death that he would be strong. And Lord, if it be your will, you know, make Peter happy and convert one of the guards and bring him peace maybe. I think, Lord, that you would want to do that. That's not how they prayed. They said, Father, let him go. Get him out. Send your angels. Blind their eyes. Open gates. Let's see him. I want to see him face to face on this side of heaven. And God did it. It is the life of the church. In Acts chapter 13, why don't you turn there? When we are in prayer, the importance of prayer, when we are in prayer, we become in tune with the will of God. And when we're in tune with the will of God, we're able to do what it is that God would like us to do. If you just pray in the morning, and then you direct all the rest of your thoughts onto something else the rest of the day, you're not in tune with God. And you also need dedicated seasons of prayer where all you're doing is seeking the face of God. Well, that's pretty radical. I'm busy. I have a lot of things to do. Well, quit doing the things you're doing and spend some time before the Lord in prayer. We're so busy that we don't do what we ought to do because we're doing what we can do. And we're missing God's best by doing something that's good. The church in Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. They were sent forth by the Holy Ghost. Brothers and sisters, if they had not taken time to pray, you would not be sitting here today reading these words. Had they not prayed, they could not have discerned the will of God. And had they not discerned the will of God, they wouldn't have gone forth on the first missionary journey, much less the second or third. They had to pray. Do you have a heartbeat for missions? How many of you here went to missions conference? Okay, a few hands. Since you've been back from missions conference, it's been a month now. Has some of the fire that beat in your breast dimmed? Or is the flame growing brighter? It seems to me that according to the Bible, if we were praying people, we would have a heart beating for missions. And some of you do. More of us should. Is the desire still there? Painful to obey God. You can ask Paul. He can tell you. There's a few others that might fill you in. But it's worth it. It's worth it. People shoot at you. People don't like you. People misjudge you when you serve God. All of those things happen. But when you're plugged in and you know you're doing what He wants you to do, it doesn't matter. Because you know you have this witness in your heart that's saying to you, well done. Well done. Keep following me. This is normal. This is a pattern. I set it out for you. This is the reason I was despised and rejected of men. This is why we sang about the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Why is it that we think we ought to get to run around snapping our fingers and doing a dance? We need God's heartbeat. And when we have God's heartbeat, what we want isn't going to matter. We're going to skip some food and we're going to spend some time with Him and say, Lord, what would you have us to do? We're listening. Speak by your Spirit that we would know. You know, there were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold, but one went astray. And that was me. I went astray. And Jesus came and snatched me out of my desperate state. So how can I say no when He says go? Unless I deny the Lord that bought me. Can't do it. None of us should be able to do it. Well, who did He say go to? Say it again. All. It's not a specific command for a few people. Wherever you are, go. If you can't go anywhere away, go where you are and preach the gospel. Share your testimony. Make it known that there is a living God in heaven. But you're not going to do any of that unless you have a prayer life. Unless you're rooted in prayer, it'll just be a law. And you'll make disciples though you can pass sea and land. When you find them, you'll make them twofold more the child of hell than you are. None of us wants that. Prayer is the life of the church for direction. Since you're already in Acts 13, turn a couple of pages to Acts 16. Verse 5, "And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone throughout..." Just a minute. They were increased in number. How often? Daily! Is the lack of the Spirit of God, or is the lack in us, His people? I don't think we better blame God. "Established in the faith and increased in number daily." Lord, do it again! "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia..." Wait a minute. They were forbidden of the Holy Ghost. Well, they must have been in an attitude of prayer. They couldn't preach the word in Asia. "After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not." How many of us just barge ahead with our plans and say, "Hey, we got our direction, we're just going to go"? Or do we stay ready saying, "Lord, next step, Lord, next step, Lord, next step, Lord, next step"? "You gave me this vision, I'm heading this way." What if Philip had said, "The Lord told me to walk on this road"? "Yeah, I hear the eunuch, but I just was told to walk on this road, so I'm going to keep walking." He'd have been in the wrong place. He wouldn't have been in an attitude of prayer. He couldn't have heard what God said, and Ethiopia wouldn't have gotten the gospel. That would be a tragedy, wouldn't it? Well, then what? "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.' And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." And let's look at the evidences here. If you notice, I go on a lot of bunny trails. I hope you can follow me just good enough. They go ahead and they go. And they end up in Philippi. And what happens in Philippi? They preach the gospel. Lydia hears a few things. They go to... Then pretty soon, Paul finds himself beaten, bloodied, and in prison at midnight. Can you imagine our modern evangelical Christianity's response to such a thing? "I told him he shouldn't have gone over there. That whole vision thing was a little..." Now be careful. Don't go running around making your decisions based on visions. That's not what I'm saying. But can you imagine what many people would say to you today if you went and you were serving God in some place that you had never been and you ended up beaten and in prison? "Well, she deserved it. She was kind of a rebel anyway. She shouldn't have gone. We knew better than that. If she'd have just stayed here at home, this never would have happened." I don't know how you all feel about missions, so maybe I'm really stepping on some toes. But Paul, he went, and he suffered, and a few people got saved, and there was a church there, and we have a letter because of it. And it has affected lives for 2,000 years. Well, but he got beaten. It says he went according to the Holy Ghost. Sometimes, and this is important, this is part of the importance of prayer, it gives you an assurance that even though you may suffer, it is God's will that you are suffering. But if you are not praying and you don't know that you're responding to God's will when you suffer, you wonder, "Why, God? Why me? This isn't fair. I'm trying to serve you." But at midnight, none of those things came from Paul's lips. When he found himself suffering, he started singing. Glory, Lord! Do it in our hearts. But we have to live a life of prayer if we're going to get there. Next, prayer is the means by which man can humble himself before God. Prayer, frankly, is an acknowledgement of need. Do you find yourself that way? "Lord, I can't do it. I don't have the strength. I don't have the knowledge. I'm afraid. I can't in myself. I can't do it. I can't stand up here before you. I can't love the way I ought to love. I can't live the way I ought to live. Lord, I have struggles. I have temptations. I can't do it. I can't do it, Lord. Prayer is the language of the poor. You've heard that before. Prayer is the language of the poor. Let me read you something, and I think you'll recognize it very soon. Blessed are the proud, for theirs is the visible kingdom. Blessed are the contented, for they don't need anything. Blessed are the commanding, for they shall rule the earth. Is that what Matthew 5 says? Nope. In fact, that kind of prayer doesn't get to go to his house justified. He stands in the temple and prays thus with himself. Lord, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, even as this publican, for I fast twice in the week and give tithes of all that I possess. No. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. I'm not even worthy to lift up my eyes unto heaven. Blessed are they which do mourn, for they shall be comforted. What kind of mourning is that? Oh, you got my feelings hurt. It's not that kind of mourning. It's, God, I need you. Lord, my needs are so great, I don't see any possible way. I don't see any way out. Lord God, forgive me. Help me, Lord. Encourage me. Strengthen me. I surrender all to you, Lord Father. There's no other way. And then he comforts you by filling you with his Spirit. And he enables you to do that which is impossible for you to do. Blessed are the meek. For then we have the power, by God's encouragement within us, to do whatsoever. But the only way we use the power endued from on high is to proclaim that Christ is come and died and risen, and he's coming again. How do we spend our energy, men? You know, we talked about playgrounds and basketball and volleyball. How do we spend our energies? Prayer is the language of the poor, the mournful, and the meek. Why don't you stand to your feet again? Sing a song that's from God's Word. You're all familiar with it. 2 Chronicles.
If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves
acknowledges our helpless state and brings the need of every life right up before God. And the need of every life is reconciliation, restoration, and revival. Prayer at its source is the very basis for the Christian life. Much of the failure we see in our lives can be traced to our prayer closet. It can be traced to letting the fires go out. You see, the greatest evidence of God's presence in the Old Covenant when sacrifice was made, was fire from heaven consuming it. When was the last time we laid out our prayers in such a way that God could send his fire from heaven and consume? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word this morning. And I ask You, Lord, please overcome my human frailty and let Your Spirit minister to every heart. The words of truth that have been spoken, set Your seal upon them and let them bear forth fruit in these lives. Oh God, grant us the grace to grow in this extraordinarily vital Christian discipline. And may we, by it, have an experiential knowledge of who You are. We thank You, Father, for this time, and we commit the rest of this day to You, and we ask that You would please bless it. Bless it, Lord, despite ourselves. We thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.